From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is our Soil Health Special. I'm out of the office for the afternoon. Coming up, we'll talk about soil health, its properties, and just exactly what kinds of things are happening here on campus, or at least a couple of them, with the Commercial Ag Extension Specialist. Nick Siter is here. He's a field crops entomologist, and Chelsea Harbaugh will join us as well. She is a plant pathologist. We'll discuss IPM, integrated pest management along the way, and how farmers can use it to improve soil health.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Nick Siter is an Extension field crops entomologist where IPM, integrated pest management, is often used. I asked him to tell me a little bit about the research he's been conducting, especially that which is related to soil health and IPM.
I do projects on a variety of insect pests in corn and soybean. A lot of my work is focused on the corn rootworm, which is the most economically important pest of corn in Illinois. Also do some work looking at the impact of cover crops on insect pest management in Illinois. We have a current project that's part of a large regional protocol looking at termination timing of cereal rye ahead of corn and what impact that has on insect pest pressure as well as on weeds and diseases. Did a similar project on soybean over the last few years. So in soybean, we found that the risk of insect damage to that crop was relatively low following a cereal rye cover crop, and we expect the risk to be a little bit higher in corn simply because there are more insects that make that jump from rye, a grass, over to corn, another grass crop. So really interested in the impact of cover crop termination timing on how likely you are to see insect pest damage in corn in particular.
How is it, Nick, that soil health and other conservation practices, things like cover crops, influence insect activity? What considerations should be taken?
So when you look at the effect of conservation practices and especially cover crops on insect pests, certainly they do have an effect, as you might imagine. That effect is going to depend in large part on the species of cover crop that you're talking about, and then the species of the crop as well. And it also might depend on a variety of other environmental factors, including temperature, moisture, the sorts of conditions that we have, especially early in the season. We find that cover crops can favor certain beneficial insect species, ground beetles in particular, some of the ground-dwelling predators that we have. They can favor some pest insects as well. For instance, if you're using a rye cover crop, like many farmers in Illinois are, you are more likely to see armyworm damage following that rye cover crop. Depending on your residue management, you may be more likely to see slug damage following that, especially if you get into a situation where you have a lot of ground cover and a lot of moisture. In terms of considerations a farmer should take, especially if they're adopting a new practice, would be to take a few extra scouting trips, especially early in the season, just to see if there's any damage out there that you're not used to seeing. The sorts of pests that you might see are going to depend in large part on your geography, even within the state, on what sorts of local situation you're in terms of field history and that kind of thing. Overall, the risk of early season insect damage in Illinois is pretty low, and that's whether you have a cover crop or not. But again, this can increase the risk of certain pest issues, especially if we talk about a cover crop that's closely related to that cash crop. So for instance, if you have a grass cover crop, and you're planting corn, that's going to be a higher risk situation than for instance, if you're planting cereal rye ahead of soybean, which is our most common cover crop system in Illinois. Similarly, you know, if you plant a clover or a vetch ahead of soybean, you could get into some unique pest issues there from insects like stink bugs and cutworms, for instance, that might cross over from that clover to another legume, a soybean. So highly dependent on the system, highly dependent on the year. The best thing that you can do, especially early on when you're just starting to adopt a cover crop system, would be to be vigilant. Now, similar, if we talk about conservation practices, if you're in no-till, for instance, the pest complex that you're going to see in a no-till system is going to be a little bit different than you see in a conventional till system. Not necessarily better, not necessarily worse, but different. And so, for instance, if you're in no-till, you're more likely to see an insect like Dectus stem borer, for instance, in your soybean crop. You're more likely to see black cutworm in those systems in general, especially if you combine a no-till system with spotty control of winter annuals in the spring. So just keep in mind when we alter something in the system, it does alter pest management, but the main thing is to be vigilant, to scout early in the season, and to identify any insect problems that come up when you still have time to do something about it, when you still have time to apply control in those rare cases where it's needed in Illinois.
Can you maybe discuss a bit more what the current research is saying about the conservation practices, for instance, that are being deployed by producers, no-till, and or the soil health practices that they might be using, and what influence they have on IPM or integrated pest management?
So far, a lot of our research has looked at the most common cover crop system that we have in corn and soybean in Illinois. And that's cereal rye ahead of soybean. So in that system, we've looked at the effect of termination timing. We've looked at simply the difference in the insect pest and beneficial species complex in soybean in fields that have a cover crop versus fields that do not. And we've also looked at some large-scale field experiments just evaluating the impact of that rye or winter wheat cover crop ahead of corn and soybean. What we've found by and large is that while there is, you are more likely to see certain insect pests following a cereal rye cover crop, it's not that high of a risk, particularly in soybean and particularly if you're talking about a grass cover crop ahead of soybean. So does it increase the risk of seeing some chewing early in the season? Yeah, particularly from armyworm, you're more likely to see that early in the season following a rye cover crop. Is armyworm a big problem in soybean? Generally, no. No, it isn't. The species that we're seeing early in the season here, the true armyworm, that's different, mind you, from fall armyworm that we had quite an outbreak of this past year. But with that true armyworm that often shows up in those cereal rye cover crops, they don't feed particularly effectively on soybean. They don't survive well on it. And generally, they're not going to cause stand loss in that system. So overall, the risk of insect activity following a cover crop in Illinois, especially in soybean where we have the most results, it's relatively low. And certainly, I wouldn't say when you talk about your IPM decision-making, insect management would not be the first thing I think about if I'm deciding whether or not to put in a cover crop or another conservation practice, the first thing I'm going to think about is the agronomics, you know, the benefits you're trying to get from that, the agronomic risks that might be associated with that practice. That would be my first consideration. In terms of insect pest management, yeah, there are problems that can happen, but there are problems that can be managed, problems that can be mitigated, especially if those fields are scouted properly. Typically, you're able to identify any early season damage while you still have time to do something about it. The controls for most of our early season insect pests, if you get them out there in time, you can control them effectively, like with an early season well-timed insecticide application, not an insecticide that's just going out just because at the time you put a herbicide down, but an insecticide that's going out when that pest is out there at an economic threshold in a susceptible stage for management. So really, insect management shouldn't be your primary concern when deciding whether or not to adopt one of these soil health promoting practices. But you should make a point in those fields to just be a little more vigilant, especially if you're new to the practice, to get out there a few times early in the season and see what you've got in terms of stand, see if you're seeing any stand loss from insect pests. One thing to note there early in the season, in both corn and soybean, a little bit of chewing in general at that time of year isn't going to have an impact on yield. It's not really going to affect you. It's not until you have stand threatened from these early season insect pests that you're really losing bushels because of that. So that's something to keep in mind when we look at managing insect pests early, not just in those fields that follow a cover crop or some other soil health promoting practice, but in all of your fields, really.
So that's a small glimpse into some of the work that field crops entomologist Nick Sider has been doing for University of Illinois Extension here on campus. Let's transition to one of the commercial agriculture educators. Chelsea Harbach is located in Monmouth, Illinois, and she also has been working on IPM, or integrated pest management. I asked her to tell me just a little bit about what kind of research she's been conducting.
Yeah, so I'm on a couple different projects. So my PhD research involved cover crops and soybean cyst nematodes. So I think my experience there with cover crops fed well into some of the stuff that was already going on. So one of the projects I'm on has to do with cover crops and soil health. And that's a statewide project with, I think we have 9 on-farm locations, and we're kind of assessing soil health over 5 years. We just completed the second year of that trial. I've gotten involved in some plant disease stuff. So last year I did some soybean cyst nematode and seed treatment trials that was a part of a NCSRP program. And this year, I'm actually getting involved with Carl Bradley. He's doing some red crown rot research at the Orr Center. So that is exciting for me because that's a new disease that I haven't worked with before. And then we have a couple of different projects that we submitted for grant funding to look at cover crops. That one is like a more just like cover crops and like cultivars, seeding rates, termination dates, and that kind of thing. And then the other one is digging in a little bit more on this soybean cyst nematode cover crop. I'm just going to call it a conundrum because that's what I feel like it is.
Well, tell me a little bit about that. Why is it a conundrum? What's there?
The literature, the like past research that's been done on soybean cyst nematode, which I think from here on out, I think I'm just going to say SCN. So the past research that's been done with SCN and cover crops, the data are not consistent, or maybe like the methodology is like a little questionable. So, you know, I spent 4 years, looking at this conundrum specifically, and like still didn't find any consistent significant effects. But there are people who I think still think that cover crops can help with SCN, and you know, I can see some of the logic behind it. You know, the when we're talking about like soil health, it takes a long time for ecological shifts to happen in the soil. And so, you know, I could see how maybe we might detect some differences in some longer term systems, like no-till cover crop systems, but we don't have, you know, those data. So it's the proposal that was submitted is one that I think might actually be able to like address some of those questions. So that's kind of exciting.
I know you've been watching things for a long time now and working with some of the conservation methods, looking at cover crops. Is there anything within the conservation area, maybe one conservation practice that is more influential than others as it regards integrated pest management or IPM decisions?
Well, so, you know, when it comes to like IPM, like I'm always going to preach, number one is going to be like crop rotation. And I don't know if that's necessarily considered like a conservation practice, but in like, in kind of like in a sense it is, because you're diversifying the plants that you're putting out there, and you know, that helps with the soil microbiome. But you know, as far as like cover crops are concerned, I think my thoughts on cover crops with regards to like IPM for diseases is there's so many, when you're thinking about IPM, there's just like so many different ways that you can manage diseases that are going to be, you know, you got like host resistance, residue management, which I know can go against some of the conservation practices, but that is an important, important aspect of IPM. And then, you know, chemicals, if and where needed, assessing thresholds and whatnot. But when we think of adding cover crops into like as a tool in IPM, I have a difficult time, you know, saying like for sure whether or not that's something that we should look into as far as managing diseases. What I think the more appropriate, the more appropriate way to look at cover crops when we're talking about plant diseases is, you know, just understanding how this added aspect, this added practice in your system affects crop diseases. So yeah, that's kind of my thing with cover crops. Like, you know, if you want to manage diseases, don't look at cover crops. I say, you know, stick with your other pillars in your IPM program, and just know how cover crops affect plant diseases that maybe have been historically a problem in your system.
Any advice for farmers interested in changing their IPM decisions based on the implementation of conservation practices?
So the biggest thing I'm going to say is, you know, just know conservation practices are great. I think they are important. But if you have diseases or pathogens or pests that are historically a problem in your field, I think it's going to be important to, you know, gain some sort of understanding of how that have historically been a problem. So like for cover crops, you know, if you have a field with a history of Pythium, like seedling rot in the spring and corn, that's one where you might be a little, you might need to be a little more thoughtful and tactical about the way you introduce a cereal rye cover crop into that system, because cereal rye is a host for a couple different Pythium species, and can almost make a Pythium seedling disease problem worse with corn following cereal rye. So you shouldn't be discouraged at all from using these conservation practices, but it's just about knowing what your historical problems are and how these new practices might affect these problems. So that way you can, you know, look at your IPM tools and figure out how you can manage these diseases as you move forward.
That was Chelsea Harpock. She's a commercial ag extension educator in the western part of Illinois, located at the Monmouth Field Research Facility. She is a plant pathologist. The interviews for our Soil Health Special were pulled from the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast, episode number 47. You can find that podcast on our website at willag.org, willag.org. You'll need to look in the podcast section. There's a tab near the top of the page in the menu items called Podcast. And once you open that, you will find the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast. You can sign up for it there. Just subscribe in the player itself or look for Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast in your favorite podcast application. We cover all kinds of topics, including cover crops, pest management, and water quality, and so very much more on the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast. Again, you can subscribe online on our website at willag.org. Hit podcast at the top of the page, and then you'll find a player for the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast. There are a couple of other places you should probably visit online if you're interested in soil health. Let's start with the precisionconservation.org website at precisionconservation.org. It is the work of the Illinois Corn Growers Association, the Illinois Soybean Association, along with University of Illinois Extension and many, many more, including the Champaign County Soil and Water Conservation District, the Illinois Department of Agriculture, and the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. One other place that you'll want to visit is ISAP, which stands for Illinois Sustainable Ag. That's the Illinois Sustainable Ag Partnership at illinoissustainableag.org. Again, there you'll find a whole lot of information as it's related to tiles and drainage and sustainable ag programs, cover crops as well. Between those two websites, the PCM and ISAP websites, I'm sure that you'll find some information that you can deploy on your farm. Visit them today at precisionconservation.org or ilsustainableag.org. And one other place to visit, that's the STAR, our Saving Tomorrow's Agriculture Resources website. It is at starfreetool, all one word, .com. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media.